Hey, Shabbat Tov. Pleasure to be here. I'm glad you were able to make it. Yitzhak has all the thank yous at the beginning. Perhaps the most important thank you was missing. That is to Yitzhak. Okay, for really being the spearhead behind this idea of having it, getting the Rabbanim to do what they have to in order to be able to happen. I really want to give a tremendous thank to Yitzhak. It's worth a half a minute to give you the proper thanks. Okay. We'd like to discuss a number of the options in terms of most of us have some people who deal with gardening here. And therefore, there are really two parts to Shemitah. One is the working of the land, the gardening for many of us, some of those who actually have agriculture, the working of the land. On Shavuos, what's allowed to be done, what's not allowed to be done, I will not personally touch upon that. But for the bulk of us, even those who are involved in gardening, there's another part of life, and that is the consumer issue. What are we supposed to eat on Shemitah? What are the various options, realistic options that we have to face? I'd just like to, before I go on to the current realistic options, just try to think a little bit, what was the Torah's ideal? What was the Torah's vision of what we are supposed to eat on Shemitah? Basically, the Torah, if we're not allowed to plant, so basically nothing much grows, except for fruit. Okay? So we have basically, the Torah raises the question, what are we supposed to eat on Shemitah if we can't work the land? To which the Torah says, I'll give a bracha, and the year before, there'll be a very bountiful crop. Okay, and that will last you for the entire Shemitah year. Now that's good in a society where people ate primarily bread. They have grain. If you have a really bountiful crop in the sixth year, you put the bread, you put the grain in the silo, and the grain can last for 2 years. And therefore, if you primary and you have trees, the trees will continue to give their fruit, and the trees are hefker. Anyone can go to any tree and pluck off an orange, pluck off a date, pluck off a lemon, pluck off a geffen. The grapevines continue to produce their grapes. The olive trees continue to produce the olives. These fruit all have kedushas. Yes, have to be treated in a special way. But the fruit continue to grow. The grain, there'll be a bracha and will last. Vegetables, who ate vegetables in any way? Okay? And therefore, there wasn't such a big deal in terms of what do you eat on Shemitah. Okay? Our lifestyle has changed a little bit, and we try to cut down a little bit on the straight carbohydrates. At the breads and the breads and the pastas and stuff, we don't eat as much. We eat a lot more vegetables, and therefore the question of vegetables, some vegetables will last for a while. Let's say potatoes can be stored in cold storage from before Shemitah, but not for 2 years. I think they last for about half a year, 9 months, the cold storage. But even at some point, the potatoes also give out. So the question is, as consumers, what can we eat on Shavuos? How are we able to get fruits and vegetables in a manner which is, and especially now that many of us are not available, we can't so easily go out and pick oranges. Okay, there are orange groves, about 15-minute drive from here. But anyone who decides that they really want an orange this morning, it's worth their drive for 15 minutes out to wherever it is to go pick an orange or two and come back home, they're welcome to do so. But for most of us, it's not worth the trip. We'd rather just go to Machane HaShuk or some other place and get more easily. So let's consider a little bit what are we supposed to do nowadays? In order to understand this, there is a very, very important issue that has to be mentioned here. There's a difference between fruit and vegetables. Why is there a big difference between fruit and vegetables? There are a couple of differences. First of all, just be aware, as it's already alluded to, the cycle for fruits is different than that of vegetables. And the cycle of fruits, the Shemitah fruit doesn't kick in until well into Shemitah. Any of the fruit which is growing, although as far as the farmer, once Shemitah comes in, he can't work on his fruit tree, but the fruit that are still on the tree entering Shemitah are still not Shemitah fruits. And therefore, until you're well into Shemitah, until the summer fruit starts coming in, roughly Pesach time, the fruit will not be fruit of Shemitah, it will still be fruit of the sixth year. And we'll see there are certain halachas, which I'm not going to go into, I think of Daniel Rosenfeld will touch upon it more, about what to do with Shemitah fruit. They will not apply to fruits until well into the year. Although the farmer, as I mentioned, he will have to be careful what he's allowed to do. The work of the tree, that's dependent on Rosh Hashanah. So the farmer has, starting from Rosh Hashanah until Rosh Hashanah, has to know what can he do to the tree, what he cannot do to the tree. But as consumers, okay, what can we, when the fruit has, when do I have to be mafkid? Those who have trees in their gardens, okay, at what point do they have to unlock their gardens and put up a sign? People are welcome to come and pick fruit off my tree. Okay, the first half a year, the fruit that are still growing, you can still keep your garden locked and say, keep out, these are my fruit. However, once you hit the middle of the year and you already have fruit that has begun growing on Shemitah, then that fruit becomes hefker, and you have to allow people access to your garden. Those of you who have fruit trees in the garden, and as far as consumers, once we start buying fruit in the middle of the year, we begin to need to think about how we're going to treat the fruit of Shemitah. Vegetables, on the other hand, have to do A, with the picking, and B, follow Rosh Hashanah, not Tu Bishvat. And therefore, in another 7-8 months, we're going to hit Rosh Hashanah, boom, Shemitah begins, and almost immediately we have issues as far as vegetables, both as far as Kedusha Shviyas and as far as what to do. So that's one distinction between fruits and vegetables, simply at what time does the Shemitah as a consumer kick in. The other issue which is very significant is that as fruits, we mentioned that both Midoraisa and Midrabanan, fruits are perfectly edible on Shemitah. There are certain limitations, what you can do with it, how you have to treat it, but it's certainly edible on Shemitah. You're allowed to go and pick a fruit and eat it, enjoy Midoraisa, Midrabanan. There are no limitations as far as that. However, when it came to vegetables or to grain, there's a potential issue of svichim. What is svichim? The svichim are leftover seeds from the previous year. You can imagine if you are a farmer and you grew wheat in your field, as you have your combine go through the field and you're picking up the grain or you're cutting it with your sickle, you can imagine that a couple of kernels will fall off as you're picking it and will fall into the ground. And therefore, you will have some seeds remaining scattered around the ground. Okay, fine. Normally it's not an issue. Next year you're going to plow the ground anyway. You're going to replant anyway. And therefore, the little bit of seeds that fell the previous year are insignificant, just become negligible in relative to the growth that you're now going to. But on Shemitah, since no one is planting, no one is plowing, however, the seeds from last year, here and there, you'll see on Shemitah when the rain begins to grow, when it begins raining, here and there around the field, you'll see, oh, here's a little patch of wheat, here's a couple of stalks, here's a couple of stalks. Here and there, there will be grain that grew from the leftover seeds that fell the following year. I didn't do anything, they were from the following year, they were there, and they just sort of grew of their own. According to most poskim, midoraisa, those grains are permissible, and therefore, after they continue growing and they mature, whoever wants to, again, they'll be hefker, whoever wants to could go into the field and he sees a couple of grain stalks here, can take those grain stalks, take them to his kitchen, grind them up, and make himself a loaf of bread from fresh grain. However, as time went on, there began to be a little bit of concern, Chachamim were concerned that people were taking a bit of a tramp on this idea, and they would scatter around quietly during the night on Shemitah, a couple of grains all around the field. And therefore, interestingly, instead of the field having, I don't know, 5-10% growth the following year, it's not that the numbers went up to 15-20-25%. Wow, a lot of kernels fell last year. Therefore, to stop this practice, Chachamim came down and said, you're not allowed to eat any of the growth of grains and vegetables on Shemitah. Anything that began growing on Shemitah, even if you didn't plant it this year, we're going to, in order to stop people from taking advantage of this, we're going to not allow stichim. And therefore, even something which grew, therefore by vegetables, there is a concern for an Isser Drabanan on fruit which was grown, on vegetables that were grown by Isser on Shemitah. Meaning, not it means if the farmer planted farmer did not do any of the permissible. He didn't do Hetzer Mechira, and he didn't do Otzer Bez, he didn't do whatever. You just have a person who went ahead and worked the land, Be'isr, doesn't care about Shemitah. So the fruit, in principle, the fruit is still edible. There's no prohibition, there are other issues as well, but there's no prohibition of the fruits themselves. Whereas if a farmer plants vegetables, grain on Shemitah, they will be prohibited midrabbanan. So these are two reasons where we have a bit of a distinction between fruits and vegetables in terms of Shemitah. And again, we're not going to go into all the details, just as a bit of an introduction. And we're going to now go into some of the concerns, some of the possibilities that we have. As Yitz already mentioned at the beginning, all of this needs to be in a more slower and more methodical. Mirz Hashem, we'll have, of course, the year, coming year, more week by week or whatever, a shiur on a more regular basis about this or Shemitah. This is just to give you a taste of Shemitah. Okay, so the Maisa, we said we are here, hits Shemitah in another 8 months, and we want to go to the fruit and vegetable store, and we want to buy ourselves a sack of potatoes, some tomatoes, we want to buy a pack of oranges. We see, suddenly seeing all kinds of signs coming up on the store, Hetzer Mechira, Otzer Beis Din, Yevul Nachwi, Peros Chutz La'aretz, Matzah Menutah. And we're like, wait, what do all these labels mean? And can I, should I, shouldn't I? What's going on? So we'll try and make a little bit of order what the various options are, pluses, some of the pluses, the minuses, based primarily on a sefer by Rav Yudah Amichai from Mechon HaTav Ha'aretz, who has a special section exactly on this issue of the various options of fruits and vegetables. And he points out all of these issues are subject to significant debate. There are have been long discussions in the poskim, pros and cons. Nothing is simple, but nothing is completely problematic, and therefore everything is subject to debate. And therefore it's important to remember that pretty much everyone has what to rely upon, and therefore a person shouldn't badmouth others, because that's certainly not allowed. Okay? So that's an important point. We also have to backtrack on what's something which is unfortunate, but that is the situation that we live now. As Rav Solomon mentioned, we are living in an era that unfortunately we have only about 40% or 45% of Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, and as such, Shemitah is still only midrabanan, the obligation for Shemitah, which from this perspective is better for us. Okay? Makes it a little bit easier, I should say. It's easier in that Shemitah's Drabana allows to, in certain cases of Safek, we can be more lenient on our basis of Safek, Drabana, Lekula. We look forward to the time, maybe next Shemitah, that will tip over the 50%, and then we'll have another million and a half, anyone has any friends in Chutz La'aretz, relatives, please bring them. Okay, those who are watching this video in Chutz La'aretz, you are hereby officially welcome to make Aliyah and to come to Eretz Yisrael and push us over the 50% mark. Okay, then the issues become a little bit more complicated. This point, it still may not be, until we have everybody here, may not be the right, so that's a separate discussion. But in any case, we still have to remember that at this point we're dealing, unfortunately, with a situation of a Shemitah obligation, which is already the Rabbanan, but does allow certain leniencies. Okay, so let's start with the big three. And I said there are other options, but we'll start with the big three. Okay, the simplest way is to get, let's just say, there's some stuff, as you mentioned, stuff which is from storage, okay. At the beginning of the year, the easiest thing to do is get stuff which grew last year. Okay, that's good for potatoes, the stuff that can be picked and stored. Fresh vegetables, that's not going to work well because you can't keep your tomatoes for that long. Okay, but for stuff like potatoes and carrots and stuff like that, you can have stuff that was picked the sixth year, i.e. picked this year, put into cold storage, and when Shemitah begins, they began taking that and putting it on the shelf. Okay, there's nothing much to discuss. These are non-Shemitah fruits, these are six-year fruits. They'll have regular chumusomyces of six-year fruits. There is no Shemitah issue whatsoever with fruits that come from storage from the previous year. Okay? So that's one issue. Another issue which does not have much of a halakhic concern, and that is stuff which is imported from foreign countries. If we have apples, Washington apples coming from the United States, or we have fruits and vegetables coming from Jordan or from countries outside of Israel, there also isn't much to discuss. Even if they are Shemitah fruits and vegetables, since they're not coming from Eretz Yisrael, there isn't much to discuss except for hygiene issues that's coming from Arab countries, okay? A little bit of a concern, do we want to buy stuff? So we want to support Jordan, Syria, and Egypt, and Iraq, and Iran, but that's another issue to be considered, okay? Do we want to, should we say we'd rather rely on certain things and not give money to our enemies, or do we say we'd rather let's do a Shemitah without getting involved? So from as a consumer, this is more of an ethical issue than a straight halakhic issue in terms of fruits coming from there. There was a small discussion on this issue. It says, in principle, since people are not supposed to be selling Shemitah fruit, there was it was extended possibly to fruit which is imported from food stores, but now there's a lot of other stuff. Many posts say it doesn't apply. So for our purposes, let's assume that stuff which is either from cold storage or imported from foreign countries, there really is no significant Shemitah issue at all. There is a third possibility which is subject to debate, but again, may also not have such a Shemitah issue, and that is the Gemara Yerushalmi has a question, if you were to grow stuff in the house here, or a person has a house outside, he has a covered area, it says sadcha. Shemitah is mentioned about sadeh. What if something is grown in a house? If a dirt floor, and you grow something in a house, does Shemitah apply to it or not? Machlokes about the issue in Yerushalmi, and on the assumption to mention Shemitah Drabanan, there's going to be lenient on that, especially if the floor has, let's say, for example, I had to grow it on a flower pot inside a house under a roof. So therefore, there are many poskim called we'll find something called matzah minutak. That means it's being grown in a greenhouse on a detached floor. Many say Shemitah doesn't apply to that either. And therefore, you will again not have issues for say of Shemitah on something grown from matzah minutah. Okay, again, that's depends on to debate on how you want to view various things. Some are machmir, but there are those who say that something grown on a matzah minutah in a greenhouse on a ground floor, in a flower pot or some other plastic thing, does not Shemitah doesn't apply to. So these are situations where there is no real issue of Shemitah if you rely off the matzah minutah. Other things that you find is what about stuff which is grown by goyim, but not outside, not imported from outside of Eretz Israel, but stuff grown by our neighbors, right? Okay, I don't know if I can call them neighbors, but those who unfortunately are currently sharing the land with. What is the story with theirs? This is a big, big machlokes between the various Rishon and Achronim. Has to do with this detailed halachic issue, yesh koach b'yad akum lahafkiach chdushas Eretz Israel. Does a guy have the ability of a guy owns property in Israel? Does that revoke the kedusha of the land? One thing is clear: it does not have the ability to permanently revoke the kedusha of the land. And therefore, as soon as the land returns to Jewish ownership, it resumes its kedushas Eretz Israel. However, so long as it's unfortunately in the hand of the guy, does the land at that moment have kedusha? That's a big discussion. And under the assumption that tentatively it does, it does not. So therefore, if the guy is working the field somewhere in the area over here, okay, and you buy the fruit from him, that may not have kedushas shvius. I say may not because there was a big machlokas between the Beis Yosef and the Mabit going back about 500 years ago. There was the opinion of the Mabit who held that even the field or the or vineyards that were owned and operated and worked by the goyim still had to be treated as Shemitah produce. Okay, as you mentioned, Daniel Rosenfeld discussed more how to deal with Shemitah produce. Okay, you're allowed to get it from them, you're allowed to eat it from them, but do you have to treat it in the kitchen the way you would treat Shemitah produce? However, the opinion of the Beit Yosef is that it was not considered as Shemitah produce, and that is the prevalent practice of most people in Eretz Yisrael, that stuff which is grown by goyim does not have kedusha shvius. And therefore you'll find in certain circles, that's the preferred option. They don't want to have the headache of in the kitchen having to deal with Shemitah produce. Certainly, if you're talking about a catering, if in the house, that's one thing. So leftovers, you do that. The other thing, if you're talking about a catering, where you have much more massive quantities and you can't be responsible what exactly your guest will or will not do, so sometimes it's easier to work with produce which comes from Arab sources, from non-Jewish sources, and therefore, according to the prevalent practice in Israel, is not to treat that as having kedusha shvius, and none of the limitations of shvius will apply to it. Okay, So that's, however, of course, the downside of buying in bulk quantities from non-Jewish people living in Eretz Yisrael. Whether you want to give some money to Jordan is one question. Whether you want to give money to the people living in Gaza, Ramallah, or elsewhere, okay, or in Shechem, is a bit more of a trickier issue, both practically and also halachically. We don't want to strengthen thereby giving them additional sustenance by having worth the land. We're strengthening their possession of the land, which borders on the issue of lo tachanein. And therefore, buying from Arabs who live in Israel is not quite as simple as buying from importing stuff from neighboring countries. Okay, but in any case, there are many who prefer, in order not to have to deal with the produce, as Shemitah produce, prefer simply to buy what was grown from the Arab, or grown from Arabs. Okay, there are not that many limitations, except other than the issue of, is it proper, is it acceptable to buy from people who are our avowed enemies? The other option, the other extreme, is called is to rely on the Heter Mechira, which began about 100 years ago or so, which when the farmers were coming back to Eretz Yisrael and the Jewish agriculture was beginning, and Shemitah came, the question was, if we're suddenly going to stop working the fields for the year, okay, there were two issues. One, how will the new immigrants survive the year economically? And B, since at that point the struggle for the land was a very, very significant struggle, if you stop working the land for a year, then you basically lost your rights to the land, because from the government's perspective, whoever was using it basically got it. And therefore, if the Jews were going to stop working, have an area where the Jews and the Arabs are contesting for usage ownership, and the Jews suddenly stop for a year, stop here, and the Arabs start doing it more, basically, the Jews will lose their ownership of the year. And therefore, the Gdolim of that time, Rav Yeshua Kutna, Rochan Inspector, Rav Kook, developed what we call Heter Mechira, which is fairly similar to something else we're all familiar with. Heter Mechiras Chametz. Okay, the same principle that we have by Mechiras Chametz, that basically we have Chametz which still continues to sit in our pantry or wherever it will be, we put it away, but we transfer the ownership to the goy. Okay, therefore, although realistically the goy, we don't necessarily expect that the goy will come and will actually take our bottles or whatever it is, okay, we'll take the chametz to actually use it. It's a good chance that when the year is over, the Pesach is over, he will sell the chametz back to us. Okay, the same thing they suggested, we can do a similar idea with the land of Eretz Yisrael. We will sell, we have a parcel of land here in Yad Binyamin, we'll find some other non-Jewish person in the area, and we will sell him the land for the duration of the year. Okay, these are the questions, how does it work? Can you sell for the year? Do you have to sell permanently? With the expression, you'll sell back, that we will not get into. Okay, but basically you're selling the land to the goy, and then, although there's no expectation necessarily that the goy will personally come in and do the land, you will work the goy's land. Therefore, that's a question of whether this is acceptable or this is not acceptable. Here, there are a couple of questions. Some, and basically branch into two basic questions that are more, that we're not going into because we're more concerned about the consumers. Some say this whole issue is a farce. Therefore, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. Nobody knows that a sale is not a sale. And this whole thing is just a game and it's meaningless. And the whole thing does nothing. You're basically a farmer who did Heter Mechira, and therefore he's working the farm based on Heter Mechira. It's just like a Jew working a field for Isser on Shvias, and you have to treat it like any other field on Shvias. There are those who took that extreme. The Chazanish is very much against Heter Mechira, and you'll find in certain communities they basically disregard Heter Mechira as having any effect whatsoever. Others objected to Heter Mechira not so much as far as whether it works, but more as far as whether it's proper to do so. There's a prohibition to give land, in Eretz Yisrael over to non-Jews. Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people, and we are not allowed to encourage the settlement and the ownership of land in Eretz Yisrael to non-Jews. And therefore, there was someone said, how can you sell the land to non-Jews? You're violating the prohibition of lo tachaneh. By starting, I hear by selling my land, we're all trying to buy land, we're trying to buy property in Eretz Yisrael. And here you come to Shemitah, and you sell 60% of the land to non-Jews, how can you do such a thing? So the answer to that is, those who allow Heter Mechira say, since this is being done in a specific setting to strengthen, on the broader picture, the Jewish settlement, And as I mentioned before, had they without the hefty mechir, the Jewish settlement would be even weaker. And although, right, technically you may be selling the land to the goyim, but essentially you're strengthening the Jewish possession of the land. Therefore, the issue of lo tachanein does not apply. Now, that you can argue yes, no. However, that's already not so much an issue for the consumer. That's a question whether the farmer has the right to sell or not selling it. But if you're concerned about lo tachanein, once it was sold, it's been sold. Therefore, the issue which we mechir as a consumer is whether or not the farmer, you single person farmer, should have sold the farmer. Should have, does that really, once he sold, does that make a difference to me? The farmer decided he's going to sell it, he's going to rely on those opinions. I, as a consumer, at this point that the land had been sold, and he followed the Rabbanut HaRashit, and he did whatever he had to do, and he's following the instructions, can I buy the produce from him? So as I mentioned, if those communities who feel that there's no significance at all to the Hetem Achira, so then basically you would have a problem certainly by the vegetables, because the black will be Svicham, even the fruits, you'll have certain things, maybe a problem. You're basically aiding and abetting in a crime, in that he was working the field in prohibited manner because he had no right to the field is a regular field. However, if we assume that the Hetem Achira has a basis, and I guess you want to take a rule of thumb, right, if a person will rely on the Mechira Chametz, I think most of us here rely on the Mechira Chametz, that means we do grant significance to the sale. We don't consider it a total farce. Still, it's done with a certain legal mindset, even though in practice we don't expect it to be the guy to come and take the field in a practical manner. But since legally it has been sold, therefore it's been sold, whether it's right or wrong, it's a little bit less of our concern. Having been sold, the land is basically land which is owned by Goyim, and as such, the produce would not have, we would deal with it as if the Goy's own land, and therefore, as I mentioned before, it would not have Kedushas Shvius, according to many authorities. And therefore, the option of Hetem Achira, they said, from the consumer end, is much less of an issue than from the farmer's end. Because the farmer has to wrestle with, is it proper, is one allowed to sell it? As a consumer, we're just concerned, is there any validity whatsoever to the sale? If there is validity to the sale, then we are able to buy the produce, because the farmer relied on whoever he relied to sell it. For us, it's much less of an issue in terms of if the land is considered land owned by a goy, and therefore, against being shmita and being derabanan, there's a good basis for those who want to rely on the Hetem Achira as consumers to do so, even if they themselves wouldn't want to personally sell the land. As I mentioned, are those who try to avoid Hetem Achira at all, because ideologically they are gung-ho against selling, or because they feel it's just a farce. But those who want to rely as consumers, there is a basis to do so. The third major option, which is discussed, is that of called Otsa Besdin, which is trying to get the balance between the two. Otsa Besdin, as I mentioned, only works on certain things. Works more on fruit than on vegetables. Okay, thank you. Otsa Besdin is based on a Tosefta, which you mentioned fruits of Shvius in principle. As an individual, you're welcome to go out to a field and collect fruit that naturally grows on Shemitah. So it describes that, therefore it was a very easy person to go collect. The Tosefta describes that in order to make it a little bit more mass, in order to have a little bit more of a certain things that are hard to do on a day-by-day basis, the person making wine, to go take a cup of grapes and just make yourself wine, it's a little bit harder to do. So there was a discussion that a Beis Din, as a communal responsibility, would encourage mass picking, because a person, although he's allowed to go pick fruit for Shemitah, is only allowed to pick fruit on a household level. You can't have the owner, the owner of the farm, even if he's not going to you can't have a person go out with his picker and then go pick off 10 orange trees at once, even though the fruits are allowed. You got to pick on a day-to-day basis, or even for a short time, enough for a week or whatever, you know, for your household use, but you can't mass pick your fruit, and you certainly can't mass produce your oil or your wine. However, the Tosefta indicates that Beis Din, as a communal agent, can take here, since the community has many people, we have thousands of people living in Yad Binyamin, and therefore if we think the need of the oranges or the apples for people in Yad Binyamin, we need every week a couple of thousand of oranges and apples. Okay, and therefore, under the aegis of Beis Din, we can have a mass picking, okay, under the direction of Beis Din of apples and a massive storage of apples. And then, in principle, it should be distributed freely because the fruits of Shemitah are hefker, are ownerless. And therefore, basically, in principle, we should, Beis Din can oversee a mass picking of the fruit and then distribute freely to people. However, someone's got to do the work. Okay? Who's going to be friar enough to go pick the fruit for 6,000 people, you know, to go pick 6,000 apples and get no payments for it? So obviously, Beis Din will have to hire people to pay to do the work for them. Okay, where should that money come from? Well, it could come from a communal pot, right? The Beis Din, to serve the agents of the community, can serve as the public funds to get people to do the work. There's no reason it can't be the farmer himself. And therefore, on that basis, various organizations have developed the idea we call Otze Beis Din, in which the Beis Din, under the guidance of Beis Din, they will pay the farmer and the trucker and the shipper and the store owner to basically be their agents to distribute the fruits. And therefore, when you quote-unquote buy fruits of Otze Beis Din on Shemitah, you're not really buying the fruits. The fruits are being distributed. If you look carefully, it's called the Nekudat Chalukah, not really being sold, but rather it's being distributed for free, and the money that you're paying for those fruits and vegetables are through Otze Beis Din, are primarily you're chipping in your share, rather than just taking a budget out of the Moitzah to cover the Otze Beis Din. We'll say, we'll let whoever the people who are benefiting from the fruit, let them contribute to this fund of paying for the farmer and the shipper and the store owner, whoever it is, as the agents of the workers of Beis Din. And therefore, when you are quote-unquote buying the fruit, you're paying for the labor associated with procuring these fruits. As such, these fruits have full Kedushas Shvi'is. Any fruit which is purchased through Otze Beis Din, these are regular Shemitah fruits and therefore have to be treated as a Shemitah fruit. Unless they're told to you otherwise, this is actually not Otze Beis Din fruit. This is either fruit from here or fruit from there or from Matzah Menutak or from Yevul Chutz Laretz. You have to look at the labels. But fruit which is really done through the Otze Beis Din is typically fruit that is Shemitah fruit that is that is being distributed. Okay? How are we doing time-wise? What? A few minutes. Okay. So this is more or less the basic issues, the big three that we spoke about, summarizing just in a minute. When it comes to flowers, okay, this also comes up, what to do as far as flowers. Flowers also, see, you know, as from the farmer's perspective, is a question, well, how can I grow flowers on Shemitah? Again, on the consumer end, it's a little bit less of an issue. Because there is no Kedusha, regular flowers, at least flowers that are just for beauty, don't have any Kedusha. The issue is only did the farmer act properly, did not act them properly. If a farmer grew them, the Isser, I shouldn't be supporting him by buying it, because I'm encouraging him to violate Shemitah by buying it from him. However, if the farmer did any of the other possibilities, he grew it in a closed greenhouse under a thing, or he did ride ahead to Mechira again, having done whether I would have sold the land or not, then that's beyond me. Having been done, so the only farmer did anything to make it permissible, there's no issue for me as the consumer with the flowers. Okay? So these are basically some of the issues, and all these require further discussion. But just again to summarize a little bit and to try to put a little bit of order of the priorities and what's the from a halakhic perspective. As we mentioned, stuff from the previous year, okay, which is held in cold storage, has no issues of Shemitah associated with it, just as long as it's still fresh enough and edible to eat. But there's no halakhic issues rather than Tehillat Shemitah, just treated as food from the previous year. Stuff from Chutz Laretz also doesn't have any significant Shemitah issues, just to consider whether you want to support our neighboring countries. Stuff grown by Arabs in Eretz Yisrael doesn't, according to the practice, is not to consider it as having Kedushas Shvi'is. So the consumer, you can buy it and just dispose of it when you've finished eating with it. Although, as I mentioned, there are some who are machmer in it. So certain places, let's say in Bnei Brak, I think they are sometimes machmer on that. Most places, I think, are not. There are, however, serious concerns whether that is a proper thing to do. How much do we want to support people who are our avowed enemies? As far as going beyond that, the issue of Heta Mechira, as I mentioned, has been a very, very hot debate through the poskim. As consumers, it's somewhat less of an issue. Certainly by fruits, okay? Certainly by fruits where worse comes to worse and the fruits themselves are permissible. By vegetables, it's a bit more of a problem because there may be some concern about tzvichim if you really don't hold by it. By fruits, it's less significant of an issue. And there's ample basis as a consumer to rely on it as well as a consumer. And the other option is that of Otzah Beis Din, which we mentioned. Beis Din serves to as an agent of the community to hire people to deal with the fruits. Again, it doesn't allow Hetzem Mechir will not allow somebody to work the field. You know, that's Otzah Beis Din doesn't allow the farmer to do much beyond. Doesn't do a little bit beyond what he might be able to do by himself, but it does not allow the farmer to work the field in a way prohibited by Shvius. It's more of the fruit either that grows by itself, or for example, stuff that was planted before Shemitah, vegetables planted before Shemitah, and continued to grow into Shemitah, okay? So something was planted before and grows into Shemitah, those vegetables will have the status of Kedusha Shvius, and therefore there are certain limitations on which the farmer can sell them, even though he didn't plant them, I planted them beforehand. But being picked on Shemitah, they have Kedusha Shvius. There are certain limitations of schora, of commerce, on Perishvias. This enables the farmer to sell his, quote-unquote, sell his fruit, but actually not selling it, but by distributing it through Beis Din and receiving payment for his labor through the Otzah Beis Din. The advantage of that, you're supporting Jewish farmers, and you are eating fruit which has Kedusha Shvias, and ultimately, if part of the idea of being an Eretz Yisrael as that the fruits of Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha within it, all the more so fruits on the year of Shemitah have within it extra Kedusha, and therefore, you are as much you eat, and if you eat Eretz Yisrael fruits, you become an Eretz Yisrael, a dikkur person, and if you eat Kedusha Shvias fruits, you also elevated with the Kedusha of Shvias, and therefore, in many ways, there is an advantage of that.